you on that journey, amen. And I just honor your pastors for their persistence and their resilience and their endurance. There's a lot more I could honor you for, but when I look at you guys, I see a couple that didn't stay down, you got back up. When the wind turned against you, you kept walking. When the war stood in front of you, you waited until you found a way over it. That's the heart of your pastors. It really is. They don't quit. They won't quit on you. They're not hirelings. They're shepherds. There's a lot of hirelings around in modern church today. That the moment the weather changes, they're gone. The moment an opportunity comes, they're gone. I want to just honour your pastors that they're not hirelings. They really are great examples, right? Of shepherds that just said, no, God, you put us here. You gave us these sheep. And we're going to stay doing what you've given us to do. So I just really honour you for that. I think you model, truly model endurance. And you've been with us when we were crying over stuff. And we've been with you when you were crying. But we're getting there, eh? And like we were talking earlier, we're getting there with the heart of Joseph. That we're fresh. We're loving. We're not damaged. We're ready for what God wants to do next. Amen. Brilliant. Well, it's a joy to be with you. And I was praying this morning about what to share. And I just really felt in this time of your 30th birthday and the series of celebrations that you're having, I just this morning just thought, I want to preach on your name, Life Church. Because that's two great words. That's two really powerful words that actually describe who you are, what you're here to do, what you value, what you believe in. It's like when you go to the supermarket and you buy a tin with beans in it, right? You don't expect spaghetti, do you? Because on the tin it said beans, right? If you bought a tin of Heinz beans and you opened and there were mushy peas in there, I mean, that's another level of offence, isn't it? It really is. You'd sit there and go, just when I thought things couldn't get worse. Mushy peas. I bought a tin with beans written on it. So you can see the deep time I have with the Lord in the mornings, can't you? Is it shining through? Talk to God about a tin with beans on it. Now, you're a tin and you've got Life Church written on it. And there were seasons where you were Word of Life, right? Yep. And then it went, how long was that when we moved from Word of Life? Okay, 20 years. So I was in that journey then. So, okay, we're getting timelines now. We're finding it. But when I was praying this morning, I thought, let me just preach off of your name. Let me dissect your name tonight with the purpose of refueling what you're here to do. See, those are two great words, aren't they? Life, Church, powerful, purpose, really good explanation of who you are. See, the first word, life, we're not talking about the life that this life offers. When your pastors say, this is Life Church, when you're talking to your friends and you go, I go to Life Church, you need to understand that you're not talking about the life that you get when you were born because you came from Adam. That's not life. That's existence. When we say Life Church, we're not talking about life that comes through natural birth, though that is an expression of life. We're talking about the life that comes through Jesus Christ. You see, this is the truth. Some people have a life, but they've never found the life. See, if you're born... We all got born. That's how we got here. We all came the same corridor, right? Bit tight. Bit of a push when we were coming in. But that caused us to be born and become alive. And the first thing they did was cut the umbilical cord, smacked your bum, made you scream and breathe for yourself. I mean, it's a good job you were too young to understand what was going on. If they did that to you when you were an adult, you'd still be in counselling now. Trying to process what happened. Why did he hit me? Why did they cut me from my life force? I wasn't ready. No one asked me. I was identifying as a baby. I mean, it carries on, it just keeps on going on, right? But doctor came, snip. I actually cut the umbilical cord for, I think it was four of my children. And then they began to scream and they began to breathe. And we would say the baby's alive. Well, yes, they are, but they're also dead. If we understand what real life is. That when we speak about life church, we're not speaking about the life that's in the pub. We're not speaking about natural life. We're not speaking about mere existence, even though mere existence is a gift from God. Don't get me wrong, I'm thank God for the life I've got, but I really thank him for the life I found in him. See, the day that we keep doing church and our life is no different to the life of people that don't know Jesus, we've got a problem. Because what we've done is we've lowered the bar, and instead of introducing them to the life, we've settled for a life. Well, I'm just going through the motions. One day I'll die. No, no, that's settling for a life. That's mere existence. When Jesus didn't say, I come that you might have mere existence. He said, I have come that you would have life. That's what Jesus said, right? Now, here's the reality. Life, true life, is found in one place. And that's found in Jesus Christ. Now, apparently the church is the body of Christ. So when people come into this building or meet you in the street, they shouldn't encounter life that they already know. They should encounter a life that's so delicious they want more. Right? I didn't see a sign outside, everyday average life church. I didn't see mere existence life church. I just saw two words, life church. We've got to come knowing that the church is not a building. Thank God for buildings. The church is not a meeting. Thank God for meetings. The church is a community of people called out of darkness, of people who were once dead, though they were born alive. They were dead to God. But of people now who have come alive to God. And an umbilical cord has been rejoined to God. And the life they experience now doesn't come from this planet. It comes from him. Can someone say amen? You believe in this place, right? Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in you. So when we consider, if you can count to two, you'll get this. And that's how kind of shallow I am. Past two, I start losing thought, you know? Now, we know that there were two Adams. All right? The Bible recognizes Adam, and it recognizes a last Adam. We don't call him a second Adam because that means there could be a third Adam, and there'll never be a third Adam because Jesus was the last Adam. But we acknowledge that there was Adam, Mark 1, and he was made not just to be alive mentally, not just to be alive physically, but to be alive with God. Adam was made, Adam and Eve were made to enjoy the life of God. We could call that the tree of life. They were made to be joined to the tree of life and to enjoy God's life. How awesome's that? God's life. Zoe life. Zoe means that same kind of life that God enjoys himself. But you see, not only were there two Adams, there were two trees. And the choice was given to Adam and Eve. Don't eat from that tree. Stay connected to the life of God. There isn't any life that's better than the life of God. There's no living that's better than living joined to God. But the serpent comes and whispers in the ear of Eve, and together Eve and Adam take of the fruit. They disobey God. And do you know in that moment they die? Now this confused me for years because I used to read in Genesis and it said, and God said to them, eat of the tree, on that day you will surely die. I'm reading Genesis, I see them both eat of the tree, and I see them kicked out of the Garden of Eden, yet they're still very much alive to the degree that they're having children. But you see, that's where we miss the point of us being triune beings, made in the image and the likeness of God. They didn't die physically, though death had now come into them and there was a shelf life on their bums, like a tin. There was a shelf life. Eternity had finished for them. Mentally, they didn't become idiots. They were able to take care of life, but from now on, they were managing thorns and thistles they weren't meant to know. But where the death came was their spiritual death. In that moment when Adam and Eve and all of us in Adam and Eve, don't you hate that? You weren't there when it happened, but you got the conclusion of it. Now that's good, because if you lost everything in the first Adam, it means you can get everything back in the last Adam. If it takes one perfect Adam to lose it for you, how many perfect Adams does it take to bring it all back? Just one. Who was that perfect Adam? That last Adam was Jesus. Jesus was the last Adam and the second man, which means as the last Adam, he settled the bill of everything Adam was. And as the second man, he brought into being a new creation generation. He was the first to rise from the dead, the first fruit of many brethren. So Jesus concluded our bad days and brought us into the new ones. Yes. Right. So Adam and Eve had their umbilical cord cut, you see, when they were removed from the Garden of Eden. Though they were alive physically, they knew mere existence like we knew mere existence. Yet in many ways, they were dead people walking, because they were no longer experiencing true life, the Zoe life of God. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, our lives are positioned out of the first Adam and into the last Adam. And his life, the umbilical cord between us and God, is rejoined, so that here on earth, a person can experience the same quality of life that God enjoys himself. That's worth calling your church Life Church, isn't it? Or are we just going, oh, we're mere existence church. We're no different to the life they've got out there. We're no different to the pub down the road. We've got the same sort of life as everyone that doesn't know Jesus. God forbid. We've got true life. Now listen to what Jesus said many times, but in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth. Now listen to what he says, and I am the life. He didn't say a life, because he's speaking to people who are already alive. Well, how can you offer yourself as life to people who are already living? He said, no, I'm not mere existence. I'm reconnection to the very life of God that you were made to know when Adam and Eve were first created in the garden. Jesus said, I'm not a life. It's like people used to say to me years ago, I don't know if it's still trendy, oh, get a life. I've got a life. Have you got a life, or are you living in a life? The only way you find the life is when you find Jesus Christ. When people encounter Christ, when people encounter the body of Christ, they should encounter a life that's bigger than the life they knew before they met him. Another famous verse, John 10, verse 10. Jesus says, the thief. Now, Jesus speaks about the life a lot. He says, the thief, that's the devil, right? We're all in agreement. He comes with one agenda, kill, steal, and destroy. So whenever you see killing, stealing, and destroying, it's not God. That's the fingerprints of the enemy. Now, if you're trying to rebuke God for something he didn't do, you've got a problem. But when you know who did it and who the guilty party is, you know who you can take authority over. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he still try to do today? Kill people, steal from people, destroy from people. Destroy them, make them sick, make them depressed, make them broken, make them want to commit suicide. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Then Jesus suddenly says, but me, I'm completely different. I haven't come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's mere existence. I've come that you would know life. And life in all abundance. Okay, word study. That word life is the word Zoe, which means not mortal existence, but the quality of life that God enjoys himself. Whoa, stop press, drop mic. Jesus said, I have come that you would experience the quality of life that me and the Father enjoy in the Holy Spirit. But no one comes to the Father or his life or back to the tree of life except through me. He said, I have come that you would have life, life in all abundance. Word study, that word abundance means superior in quality, superabundant in quantity, and unable to be measured. So Jesus Christ said, I have come that you would no longer be killed, stolen, and destroyed by the prince of the air of this world, but you would be plugged back in to a life that people that don't know God will never enjoy, because it's found in Christ alone. Yes. It's found in the only one who rose from the dead. Amen. And he says, and when you find that life, suddenly you may have been an old misery guts before, but suddenly you're going to have happiness inside of you. Why? Because you found the life that's found in him. He's not offering you the same as the devil did. He's saying, come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, there's another verse. Let me open the Bible here and just talk to you from 1 John. I love it when it speaks about Jesus here, speaking of the life. He says this in verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. That word life is the same word Zoe. God has given us, not will give us when we die and go to heaven. God has given us not just life for here to enjoy, but eternal life. And this life that God has given us is in his Son. So God has given us eternal life. And this life, eternal life, Zoe life, unmeasurable, superior in quantity and quality, is found in his Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. But what do you mean we haven't got the life? We're sitting here listening to you. No, you've got a life. You haven't got the life. This church, the first name is life. As you move forward prophetically, take hold of that in a new way. Your life among apparent life. Your life among death. I went to one of these, not proms, you know when you have to go to school and listen to kids sing and they can't sing and dance. And yeah, I had to do one of them last night. And it was all cute, but you know, it's like the dancing, they were nailing it. But oh my goodness, when the band came out and they were showing you what they'd been working on during the year. I was trying to be kind. I mean, it was all right. But you know the sad thing that really broke my heart? All the songs the kids were singing were talking about kick me, step on me, my life's not worth living, it's not worth being around. They sang the famous song, Creep. But every song that they sung was about them having a rubbish existence where they can't expect anything, where nothing good belongs to them. I sat there in that night thing that they do, and I was brokenhearted last night. I thought, will somebody at least sing Ed Sheeran? He's happy. Will somebody just sing something happy? Will somebody please pick up a guitar and sing about how good life is? But you see, that's coming from a person who isn't just alive, but a person who's found the life. When we bring the kingdom of God and Jesus to people, we shouldn't make their lives worse and make them more boring than what they were before. Well, I used to have a fun life and I became a Christian. Well, you got bored again. You didn't get born again. Sorry, you've been bowing the knee to religion, not the risen Christ. Because he who has the Son has the eternal life. He who doesn't have the Son, doesn't mention Buddha, Allah, Krishna, any of the other self-appointed messiahs, it mentions Jesus Christ. Oh, that's politically correct, isn't it? Do I care? No, there's one road that leads to the life of God, the life of who God is, and that's his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So, you are a place, all right, a community of people that lives a life that people that don't know Jesus don't have. And you're a people, a community that offers the life to people that have settled for a life. But remember, we can only offer others what we found ourselves, right? That's why we've got to be daily living in the life of God. Oh, Jesus, I'm a part of your church. I'm a part of your family. You call me a child. You call me your son. You say that you're the vine and I'm the branch. That means the sap that's in you, the life that's in you, is the life that's available to me. God, I thank you that, Lord, you've made me one with you, just as Jesus prayed at the end of John there. God, you've done it. You've made available for me on this planet to be able to experience a life that breaks the power of depression, a life that breaks the power of addiction, a life that makes me happy when I should be miserable, a life that makes me want to get up when everything's saying quit. When other people are giving up, I just keep on going like the Energizer Bunny. That's not normal. Why? I'm not living a life. I'm living the life that I found in the Son of God, which was Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to give me death and bring me into life, Romans 6. I died with him, I've buried with him, and now I have risen with him to newness of life, and sin is no longer my master. Come on, do we believe this stuff or do we just read it every now and then? This is what we've got to be declaring over our lives. Well, I don't feel like it. No one's asking you how you feel. We're asking you to come in agreement with God. When I don't feel like it. How good have your feelings treated you over the last 400 years? Not good, right? I wake up in the mornings, feel saved. I don't even feel human. Dad, give me a lift to college. No. I haven't had coffee. We don't live by feelings, we live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. We believe the word and we apply it, not because we feel it fits, because God says it does. When we're born again, we're joined again to life. This is life, church. As you move forward into the next 30 years, you are life, church. You are a church, a community of people who have a life that this world doesn't have. You're a community of people. The building isn't life, church. You don't go, oh, there's so much life in that wall. No, you are the bricks of this building. You're the life of God in Paul. As you move forward, I just see that you're going to be a lighthouse of light and life. Okay, let's get the second word, right? Church. Life. Church. And again, we understand that when we say church, we're not talking of buildings, steeples, architecture. We're not talking of services on Sunday morning. Are you going to church? When people speak in the streets, they say to their neighbor, are you going to church? Most of the time they mean, are you going to that building on the corner of the road? Or are you going to that service at 10:30? That's not church. Church is you and me. A community of living, breathing people, truly alive to the life of God, who are God's family, God's building. We're temples individually. Don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're also temples corporately. When we come together, it's us that God inhabits, not the buildings. Come on, we need a breakthrough in this stuff in our head. Because if we don't, we stop being the church at 12 o'clock. We stop being in church at 12 o'clock because we're no longer in the building we were in when we were at church. This is something we need to see God break through in. Man, I got some trouble in America a couple of weeks ago. I was there just before July the 4th. And I got up there and I said, let me read your Declaration of Independence to you that you wrote to England 400 and whatever years ago it was. And said, every person's made in the image of God and has an inherent, unalienable right to life, liberty, and this pursuit of happiness. So I said to him, so how's your pursuit of happiness going? Because you all look pretty miserable to me. It was a tent meeting, so I could get away with that. See, people are in pursuit of life. They need to find the life that they're in pursuit of with you. We shouldn't be on a pursuit for life like people that haven't found Christ. We need to live from a place of arrival. But also, we are the church. We are the called out, the famous word ecclesia. Now, what's interesting for me, right? This is your 30th birthday, right? Yeah, but also you're over 2,000 years old. Right? Apparently 2033 is the big anniversary of the coming of the Spirit and the giving of the Great Commission. 2033. That's 10 years from now we celebrate, right? Because he was 33 years old when he died and gave the commission. We got a lot to do in the next 10 years. I was over in Holland 2 weeks ago with 7,000 evangelists and ministers from all around the world. And we had a conversation, how can we get every person to hear about Jesus in the next 10 years so that when we get to 2033, we've told the whole world about a saving Christ. I liked being there. I did. I thought, that, man, I came back, I was pumped. So you're 30 years old. Happy birthday to you. But you're not. Actually, you're also over 2,000 years old. Unless we disconnect ourselves from what God opened. Right? So if we're just 30 years old, which we are, what we're almost saying is we're a law unto ourselves. And I know that's not what your pastors believe. We've got to live with a consciousness of we're 30 years old. Let's honor the enduring love of your pastors over these 30 years. But let's also understand we are a part of a church that's 2,000 years old. We recently went through Easter and Pentecost, and man, I was just loved preaching Pentecost this year because I had a fresh revelation that the Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, wasn't just about the coming of the Spirit, but the birth of the church. See, the day of Pentecost is also the birthday of the church. Often we get excited about the coming of the Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. We know that it's a mirror image to what happened in the New Testament on Mount Sinai. That was the moment the law came down. But in the day of Pentecost, it was when God sent his Spirit, not to be a law outside of us, but to be God's heart within us. It was a type and a shadow in the old of what would be in the new, right? And we know that 50 days from Passover, 50 days of Pentecost. Isn't it brilliant that God had everything in his plan? It's always us that are catching up. But what we understand is, you see, we read the book of Acts chapter 2 and we get all excited about the coming of the Spirit, and so we should. But often we stop reading at verse 41 and we miss the point of who we are. Because when you start reading in Acts chapter 2, then the day of Pentecost come. Suddenly they were all together in one place. Suddenly, mighty rushing wind, Holy Spirit comes, fire in the room, breaks off in the tongues. People are bursting out. People are saying, they're drunk, those people. They're saying, we're not drunk. This is what came from the prophet Joel. Suddenly, Peter is no longer denying Jesus before three people. Suddenly, he's leading 3,000 people to the Lord. We're all reading the book of Acts chapter 2 going, this is flipping awesome. This is incredible. God's only gone and poured out his Spirit on all men, young and old, male and female. People prophesy. God's just messed everything up. And then we get to the verse 41 and we go, oh man, that's when he's preached that message. That's when he's cut them to the heart. And we stop reading. But let me read to you from verse 42 because it introduces us to us. It introduces us to us. Because not only had the Spirit been poured out, but the church just got born. It was our birthday. Listen to what happens next. This is incredible. Verse 42. It's a window into the first church. There's not many of them. It's like when you want to see inside someone's house. You know, you're going past late at night and you're like, you want to see. This is a window into the life, the passion, the culture of the church we're a part of the week and the first few months that it opened. Isn't that incredible? Now, we read at the end and it says, signs and wonders popping out. God's adding to their number daily those who are being saved. We all want a bit of that, right? Problem is, often we don't want to live by the recipe that they lived by that achieved what God did. We blame God. God says, well, you're not living true to the recipe. I taught you how to make apple pie. If you want to keep using your own disgusting recipe, you can keep having your own disgusting apple pies. But don't tell me there's not a true apple pie that you can know if you'll just come back to the recipe. See, don't you? I kind of like social media and I kind of hate it. Because social media gives platforms to idiots that shouldn't have them. I mean, sometimes I wipe people off my Facebook and they're like, why did you wipe me off? Because I won't let you on my stage in Portsmouth and I won't let you on my stage on Facebook. It's quite simple. I don't want to hear what you're saying. It's a load of rubbish. No one would listen to you. You're a coffee shop theologian. You don't know what you're on about. And they go, oh, okay, thanks for being so honest. It's true, right? Now, there's people on there now preaching something called the deconstruction of the church. How can I say this in Greek? Idiots. Idiots. The church doesn't need deconstruction. It needs rediscovery. Yes. Let me say that again. The church doesn't need deconstruction. The church needs rediscovery. Yes. We need to be a people that come together and say, what did the early church do? What did they love? What did they commit their time to? And I really believe this is marking the next 30 years, Steve, that all of us in family church, I feel a call back to this. Listen, we're going to look through this window together. You ready? They, that's everyone, young, old, male, female, Jew, Gentile, Greek, everyone. Under the old covenant, there was a lot more segregation. Suddenly, they devoted themselves. Themselves could go the way of church leadership or everyone in the room. It's actually everyone in the room. They devoted themselves, listen, three things, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. Listen to what happened. Three things. Apostolic teaching, all right? Apostolic teaching, really simple. Fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Three things. Simple, don't you like simple recipes? Listen to what happened when they stuck by that recipe. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. All the believers were in together, having everything in common. This is also marked in Acts 4. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That's a move of the Spirit. I was in these meetings and a couple of people fell down. Did they live any differently? Did they take care of the person next to them afterwards? Because to me, the marking of the moving of the Spirit in the early church was people didn't love stuff anymore. They loved people. I got two. You got none. Let me give you one and then we'll all be okay. That's how they were living because Christ has now come to live inside of them. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So you've got public meetings, you've got home meetings. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. Listen to this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I know what it looks like when I put a few posters out and advertise in the evening news. We're having a meeting and the amount of people that come. I don't think any of us have experienced what it looks like when suddenly God announces, why don't you all go over there? What would make God advertise your church when he looks down on your church and likes what he sees? When he looks down on your church and he says, people will be safe there. There'll be good shepherds there. See, God knows what he's looking for in a church that he'll send people to. Why? Because people is what he loves. He won't play with people. So these three things, I want us just to finish with thinking on these three things. So number one, the first part of your name is life. You are people that carry and represent and offer to others a life that they haven't yet known. All right? Number two, church. All we've got to do, according to this recipe, is be excited together. Together. And they devoted themselves. It doesn't say in the pastor rung them three times a week. That? And the pastor went and sat outside their house and convinced them to come. They devoted themselves. And the pastor had to do a 28-part series on tithing. No, they devoted themselves and a part of their money is themselves. If you don't think your money is a part of you, tell me how you live. They devoted themselves. Everything that made them who they were. Their energy, their serving, their attendance. Now, bear in mind, this is a persecuted church that every day their lives were being taken and they're being dragged away. There's something about a persecuted church that makes us better. I don't get that. In times of luxury and ease, we don't become the church we should be. Suddenly, when there's some pressure, get ready for some pressure. All of a sudden, the church comes out, which just says, you need my energy, you've got my energy. That's devoting yourself. You need me at that meeting, I'm going to be at that meeting. You need me to get behind you financially, I'm going to get behind you financially. Listen, giving to the church was secondary to them. They were already selling their houses for the person that didn't have one next door. They weren't having mass lobbying meetings on, should we talk so much about tithing? It was irrelevant. The guy that was leading that discussion had just sold his secondary property to make sure that a family next to him had somewhere to live. They gave themselves. Okay, to what? Apostolic teaching. We've got to be a people in this generation, in the next 30 years, that don't have itchy ears towards current truth that's meant to be true, but we hold true to apostolic truth. Apostolic truth. Now, I'm not talking about modern-day apostles. When it comes to our doctrine, it's got to be the apostles' doctrine of the first church. Because we got people again on Facebook going, I'm an apostle, and this is what I think God's saying. Good on you. We'll test it. We'll judge it. But not when it comes to things like the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not when it comes to the giving of the Holy Spirit. Not when it comes to a communion. Not when it comes to a whole lot of things that were set into position by the first apostles. Because the Bible says that the church is built upon the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets, with its cornerstone being Jesus Christ. Yes. We need to be a people in a time where modern progressivism seems to be another trend. People are saying, oh, God's changed his mind about some things. God ain't changed his mind about nothing. He changeth not. But what people are trying to do in this generation is they're trying to ignore an apostolic doctrine and bring God down to be like them. We're not called to bring God down. That's what progressive modernism and modern progressivism does. It brings God down to be you so you can do the things you know you shouldn't do. No, the early doctrine of the apostles said, we lift our heads to him. We become Christ-like. We allow the Holy Spirit and the Word to transform us into him, his image. We don't bring him down to look like us and act like us. We need to be people that are lovers of the truth, and we'll be called bigots for doing it. But when Jesus Christ returns, I'm going to say, hey, ingredient one, I kept preaching apostolic truth. I love it. Number two, fellowship. Fellowship's important, but again, with our Western mindset, now I know some are from Africa and we've got people all from every part of the globe in family church. So when I say fellowship, I've had to let them educate me. Because when I say fellowship, it comes from a Western mindset that says that's 15 minutes after the church, we have a cup of tea and a biscuit and then we get on with our lives. That's fellowship. Okay. Then I was invited. We've got a whole bunch of beautiful Filipinos in our church, and they invited me for fellowship. And I went there with my wife, and I said, this will be about 45 minutes. We'll have a cuppa. We'll have a munch on something. We'll be out. We'll be gone. We turned up on Tuesday. We left about Thursday. And the food kept coming. And, you know, we've got people. Our church in Portsmouth now is 75% international, from every part of Africa. Love it. And they've taught me, no, when we do fellowship, it's not your English 20-minute thing. Actually, their definition is true, because the word fellowship, koinonia, means the sharing of life. That's what it means. Not going to church and sitting next to somebody on Sunday once a week. Sharing of life. Sharing of life. And they devoted themselves to doing life with each other. That's a good ingredient, eh? Breaks down the whole English man in his castle thing, doesn't it, eh? And we close our gate, eh? See, we want the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and we want God to add to our number those who are being saved, but will we pay the bill? What's the bill? Live true to apostolic truth. Number two, share life with each other. See, the reason people don't share the life with the Holy Spirit, like we're told to in the blessing at the end of 2 Corinthians, is they don't understand fellowship with each other. So how are they going to understand shared life with the Holy Spirit? When it says, let the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be now with you always. See, people have a moment where they meet the Holy Spirit on Sunday, then they get on with their life, just like they do with people. If we can see God break that junk down, man, then we become a 2,000-year-old church. And then we've got this third one that I really think is the emphasis of God for us right now, all over the world. God wants us to become a praying church. They devoted themselves to prayer and the breaking of bread. They prayed in each other's homes as they broke bread, and they prayed in the temple. These guys were addicted to prayer. Maybe they knew something we didn't. Because to me, you know, I was over in America recently, and you've got this place called IHOP, right? and it's called International House of Pancakes, right? And you've got another place called IHOP, and it's called International House of Prayer. When you said IHOP, I said pancake. I mean, my heart was for the pancake. It wasn't for the prayer. God wants to bring our hearts back to a heart that wants to pray. Personally, that we suddenly, Holy Spirit begins to move. And I just sense we're on the edge of the new era of the Holy Spirit. And what he's going to do is he's going to bring prayer back into the church, not in a religious way. I'm suddenly finding myself wanting to pray more than ever before. I'm an evangelist, which means that side of my life is lesser than somebody that works for IHOP, you know? But all of a sudden, I just want to pray. I want to pray. I've always wanted to pray, but I want the church to pray. I want to get the church excited about prayer. Why? Because the early church knew something about prayer that we didn't. And again, you go to other nations, Philippines, Africa, they understand things about prayer that we don't. What do they understand? When you have prayer, you have presence. Because if you're talking to someone, someone's talking back. But also, this is what I believe that God wants us to get excited about. When you pray, things happen. Remember, and they weren't a faithful bunch, were they, the early disciples? They'd imprisoned the disciple. He's in there getting a beating. They're all back at the house praying for his release. God supernaturally releases him. He's knocking at the door. Rhoda's saying he's here, and they're saying it must be a ghost. I mean, there's a lot of hope. You know, don't let's knock ourselves. You know, they didn't get it, right? But when they prayed, that prison door was opened. And I just feel a stirring in me for prayer. Not religious recitals, prayer. You know, recently, again, let me just be vulnerable with you. God really started to stir this in my heart. And I felt the Lord say to me, Andy, I want to get prayer back in your life in a bigger way. And I want to get prayer back into my church. And I just stood back and I said, do it, God. And so I looked at, you know, we have a pre-service prayer meeting. And it had kind of dwindled down to a faithful 4 or 5. And we kind of located them in a room so they could do their thing. And God said to me, you wanting miracles in your service? You need to begin to give prayer a place of importance. And God began to stir my heart. And so I came back and I said to the church, look, this is rubbish. We're going to do pre-service prayer. We have to set church up every morning, 7 o'clock. I've got 40 people building stages. I know that this is like Pharaoh taking away the straw. But I need you to give me time before we start where we just pray for what God's going to do in this service. And I thought, I don't know what's going to happen here. And so the music team said, all right, Andy, you know, we'll give it to you. So they finished everything. And I said, let's just start with 10 to 10:15. I know we can't do more than that because we've got a welcome guest. I get that. And I was expecting, remember, we had 3 or 4 people, faithful people in a room over there praying for our pre-service prayer. I was actually gone the next week and I texted the pastor, Sean, and I said, how many people came? He said, 120. I said, you made a mistake. A great man of faith. I said, you made a mistake. No, I said, 120. And the people, we just needed to accommodate what God was saying to the people. To me, that's one of the funnest, we've only been doing it 6 weeks, but it's one of the funnest parts of my Sunday. Because we get in there and we just start to, remember, when we pray together, it's declarational and intercessory. When we pray on ourselves, it's relational. I'm just about to say, right the way through September, we're going to talk about nothing but prayer until God's done. Rest of the year, that's just what we're going to do. We're going to look at what is prayer, how do you pray, the difference between a person's prayer life and a person's intercession. God wants to get prayer back into us because he knows what's coming. And it's going to be a praying church and a praying people that don't just survive but thrive when other things are falling away. Did you get something tonight? It was okay, I've thrown a lot at you, right? Yeah. But you see, this is your name. You are Life Church. You are Life Church. When God said that to me this morning, I thought, that's genius, God. That's genius. So you just want me to go and preach your name. That's genius. I love that. You are Life Church. As you step from 30 years into the next, what's your vision? What you put on the tin? Life Church. You didn't put spaghetti, you put beans, so let people get beans. When people encounter you in the room and outside of the room, they need to encounter life and a community of people who have devoted themselves to apostolic teaching, fellowship, sharing life, and prayer, and breaking of bread. Father, I just pray tonight for this precious church that's an expression of your body, filled with people that love you. God, I just pray today that your life, that river of life that we sing about so often, God, would truly flow through the veins of every person in a new way, but also in the veins of Life Church. Father, I pray that you would bring revelation upon those three things of apostolic doctrine, prayer, breaking of bread, fellowship. But Father, you would put supernatural upon they devoted themselves. Father, I just speak that people were stepping out of watching into active involvement. I pray, Holy Spirit, you're not stirring with guilt, but with passion. People saying, where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? This isn't the church I come to. This is my church. I'm a part of this body. I'm a toe. I'm an elbow. I'm a wrist. I'm a part of what God's doing here. Lord, we're so hungry to see those signs and wonders. God, we're so hungry to see you add to our numbers in ways that blows our mind and gives us logistical problems of where we meet. And God, we're ready for that. But also we come to you tonight and we say, forgive us for where we've not valued, loved and protected apostolic truth. Forgive us for when we've not shared life, just attended meetings with people. Forgive us for when we've prayed, but not as we ought. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would blow through every life, blow through my life, blow through the life of this church, and just awaken something that positions them for their future. Hey, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I can't tell you about the life you're missing and then not give you a chance to get plugged in. If you want to stay unseparated, if you want to stay separated, if you want to stay miserable, that's up to you. But I need to let you know, Jesus Christ is the one who gives the life. And he gives his life to every person that comes to him and says, you will be my Lord, you'll be my Savior. Let's just pray this prayer together. It never does us wrong, does it? Heavenly Father, thank you that you've sent your Son. You've given the life, and the life is in your Son. Those who have the Son have the life. Jesus, we believe you died on a cross for us. But you took our old man to the grave and you rose to newness of life. You poured out your spirit and imparted that life, rejoining us and bringing us back into the garden. Jesus, you are my Savior. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. I believe. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, didn't ask if you went to church, didn't ask if you were raised in a Christian home. Ask very sincerely, have you ever given your life to Jesus? Have you ever made him Lord of your life? Have you ever come and drunk from his life? If not, and you prayed that prayer, maybe you've been away from God. I'm going to count to three, just give you an opportunity just to lift your hand. All you're saying is, yeah, I prayed that for me. No one's looking around. This is between you and God. I'll see your hand. No one else will. But it's not a bad thing if they do, is it? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've been away from God and you need to come back, I'm going to count to three and simply ask you to lift your hand. That's all I'm going to do. One, two, three. Right now, if there's anyone, hey, God bless you, sir. That's very honest, very honest response. Is there anyone else today you say, I need to give my life to Jesus? I need to come back to Jesus. I've been attending. I've not been enjoying his life. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to count it down. Hey, God bless you. That's awesome. Anybody else? One gentleman, one lady. Just going to count it down. Five. It's your choice. Four. It's your choice. Three, two, one. Father, let your Holy Spirit just fill this gentleman in a fresh way, this lady in a fresh way. Let them have an encounter with your life where everything inside of them suddenly changes. Suddenly the windows are open, the wind begins to blow. Suddenly things made sense that didn't make sense before. Suddenly something feels like it's shifted. Holy Spirit, fill them up, I pray. You can pop your hand down. Father, I just pray for Steve and Susie. Courage, strength. Just as Joseph saw things that God had promised him earlier, later on, I pray over you that you would, with hearts that are whole, not broken, even when you have opportunity, like Joseph did with his brothers, you will not raise a hand because your hearts are whole. But I just pray, as Joseph, you would see those things that God showed you when you were those younger ministers. Those dreams, those fulfillments of things that you know you saw, but you've not yet seen. Father, I pray that you would bring those Joseph moments for Steve and for Susie and for the family, God. Joseph moments, we pray. Moments of victory, moments of favor that don't make sense. So big, we're left thinking, I didn't deserve all of that. The outpouring of the Father's goodness. Father, we just bless them. We thank you for the 30 years. We thank you for the faithful service. 30 years. God, I want to thank you that truly they will stand up in this next season of their life with a heart that says, give me another mountain. Surely God's revived me. Surely God's given me his strength. I'm ready for another mountain. Father, I want to thank you for this next chapter. But Father, you build on everything that you've done. Thank you that it's not a new beginning, it's a next. That Father, you know what you've achieved over the last 30 years. And now you're bringing them not into just a new thing, but the next thing. Father, dreams come true. Enemies defeated. Victories won. That they would walk in favor. Yes, God, over Stephanie and Hannah, over Abby. God, we just speak blessing. We speak blessing, God, over Stephanie and Hannah and Abigail. We just speak. Have your way, God. Do what you do. Bless and do good. Bless and bring life, we pray. Father, I pray for anyone today that's got a sickness in their body. Be healed by the power of God. I pray for anyone that's got a sickness in their mind or a depression or anxiety. Let that be lifted off of you. Right now, lifted off of you as the life of God flows through a life you got when you were born. When life hits life and you're never the same again. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's been a joy to be with you and to celebrate and be a part of your birthday celebrations.
Thank you so much, Pastor Andy. Was that a great word for the church? God is so good. Isn't he awesome? We really do feel that God is doing something, saying something fresh, saying something a little bit different. And to be called Life Church is cool. And I was just thinking, often people say, what sort of church are you? Ask these sort of questions. They say, are you a faith church? And I always response is there another sort? Are you a Pentecostal church? Is there another sort? Are you a Life Church? Well, is there another sort? Now, shouldn't every church be called Life Church? When you think of some of the names that churches have, how bizarre can they be? Every church should be a place where the life of God is just flowing. Awesome. awesome. You know, God is really taking us, I believe. You know, some of the words that are coming, you know, remember right at the beginning of the year, as soon as you had that word of the call of God is calling us back to be this place of prayer. So from somebody who just came to church on Sunday morning, never been here before. God is about to release a spirit of prayer upon this family that will stir up a fresh burden, passion, and hunger. Men and women will wake up at 3, 4 a.m. and pray for this region. God has entrusted postcodes to the congregants of this church. He's been speaking that. And we really sense God is doing something new. We're not, you know, looking at, we're thankful for what he's done, but we're just looking ahead to the future for what he has yet to do. Hallelujah. This is a good place to be. A good place to be, an awesome place to be. And we're so grateful for what he's doing and what he's yet to do. We're so excited. We're so excited. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. Don't forget that on Sunday we'll be here and we're gathering, but we're going to be fellowshipping. It's going to be like it. We pray at 10 o'clock. Of course, we do that. We do that, don't we? We pray at 10 o'clock. And one of the things I say is sometimes prayer meetings are the worst attended meetings in church. But when the people come with a mind to pray, that changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a day of just fellowshipping. You know, there's going to be food. There's going to be cake. Maybe candles. Kids' party. Barbecue. Worship. Prayer, word. What a day it's going to be on Sunday. Make plans to be here on Sunday. Go home Tuesday, maybe, yeah. You know, I sometimes wonder when you read the accounts of the early church and when you read the accounts of revivals, that people would turn up for what they would maybe think was going to be a meeting, but turned out to be a marathon and never knew when they were going to go home, maybe. We're so programmed to having our plans and our preset ideas of what's going to happen. When we put our agendas out of the way, just let God's agenda have its rule and have its reign. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray blessing on every person here. May the blessing of God, peace of God, joy of God, fellowship, presence of God just fill every person. In Jesus' name, Father, we just pray blessing on every person here. The families represented. Jesus' precious name. For Pastor Andy, we pray and thank God for his family, the testimonies and the joy that he is seeing. Well, let's just continue, Lord, to that which you've begun. In Jesus' name. Pray for family church there in Portsmouth and the locations. Pray they may know the presence of God and the peace of God and the joy of God as your life is just exuded from that place and those times they gather and those things they do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming out tonight. It's not too hot in here. The air is working okay. It's keeping us nice and cool and fresh. So God is good. Enjoy the rest of your evening. So maybe speak to somebody you've never spoken to before you don't know.